Welcome to Coastline. Join us today as we learn about coal ash in North Carolina, the state's rapidly changing proposals on how to regulate it, and Duke's response to those proposals, and new legal action facing three more Duke plants for alleged violations of the Clean Water Act. We'll find out why environmental watchdog groups say one plant in particular threatens the safety of the drinking water supply for 500,000 people in North Carolina. We'll talk with attorney Frank Holloman of the Southern Environmental Law Center, and Jeff Brooks, spokesman for Duke Energy. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, your host for Coastline. Stay with us for coal ash in North Carolina. What is it? How will Duke handle cleanup? And what do the timelines and possible methods mean to the public? On today's Coastline, right after the news from NPR, here on listener-supported WHQR 91.3 FM. From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, inviting you to join us as we meet our guests and encourage you to be part of the discussion. Our topic today is coal ash in North Carolina. What is it exactly? Why and how should we regulate it? And how soon will we see it cleaned up? Coal ash grabbed the national spotlight back in February when a wastewater pipe burst at Duke Energy's Eden plant, spilling an estimated 39,000 tons into the Dan River. What news media have commonly called toxic sludge coated about 70 miles of that waterway, which winds along the North Carolina-Virginia border. But before that high-profile spill, environmental watchdog groups had been sounding the alarm over what the Southern Environmental Law Center calls illegal pollution. Now Duke Energy is facing lawsuits in connection with all 14 of its coal-fired facilities in North Carolina, both retired and operational. After the Dan River spill, Governor Pat McCrory, the state senator, and now members of the state house have offered their own proposals for how to manage it. Duke Energy is working on cleanup plans, which include some beneficial reuses. On today's Coastline, we'll explore the public concerns over coal ash management in North Carolina, what the state legislature's proposals could mean for cleanup, and we'll hear from Duke on how they're responding to the ideas coming out of Raleigh. Joining us in the studio today is Frank Holloman, senior attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. Frank Holloman, welcome to Coastline.
Rachel, thank you for having me and taking up this important issue.
And also with us by phone today from Raleigh, we have Jeff Brooks, spokesman for Duke Energy. Welcome, Jeff Brooks.
Thank you, and thanks for having us on the call.
During the next hour, you're invited to join our conversation. Have you followed the coal ash discussion? Are you concerned about the environmental implications for the state? Do you approve of how state lawmakers are tackling the issue? If you have a comment or a question, send us an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. In a few minutes, we'll open the phone lines as well. Jeff Brooks from Duke, many of our listeners have heard a great deal about coal ash concerns in the state over the last several months, but many people may not know exactly what we're talking about. Can you describe coal ash? What is it?
Well, coal ash is a byproduct of the consumption of coal. It's coal is a fuel that has been used in our generation fleets for more than eight decades, and it's been an important part of our energy mix over the years. It's been an affordable resource that's provided reliable power across our system. When you combust coal in a coal plant, the goal there is to use heat to generate steam to turn a generator. And when you combust that coal, you're left with a byproduct, which is coal ash. And coal ash is basically, there's two types. There's fly ash, which is the talcum powder-like substance that you get when you combust it. It's the stuff that in the original days used to come out of the coal plant's stacks that's now being captured for decades. And then you have bottom ash, which is the material that's left on the bottom of the boilers that actually has to be cleaned out periodically. And both of those are byproducts of the combustion process. Those are handled typically in ash basins where they're stored. However, there are applications where they have been used beneficially. Or store it dry. So there's different ways you can store it, but that's the basics of what coal ash is.
And Frank Holloman of the Southern Environmental Law Center, we're going to get into the details as the show progresses, but just can you give our listeners in a general, a broad view of why coal ash is of environmental concern?
Sure. As Jeff points out, it's an industrial waste left over from the burning of coal and high temperatures. And unfortunately, it contains things you don't want in your body, in your kids, in your rivers, or in your fish. It has heavy toxic metals in it, such as arsenic or thallium or lead. And unfortunately, for years, the Southern utilities, including Duke, have, believe it or not, been storing this industrial waste with toxic substances in unlined pits filled with water, next to our major rivers and drinking water reservoirs, held back only by dikes made of earth that leak and that occasionally fail. And the risk of this, of course you're going to have ash left over when you burn coal, but the question is, how do you store it? And what we've advocated for is at least do as much as we have to do for our kitchen garbage. Let's store it dry in lined facilities, away from our waterways. And if we did that, we would never have had the Dan River spill.
Now, before we get into some of the decommissioning methods that Duke is exploring right now for the various sites, Jeff, we know there are 14 coal-fired facilities in the state, all of which are facing legal action for their handling of coal ash. How many of those 14 plants are retired and how many are still in operation?
Well, half of that fleet is retired now, and they've been part of a comprehensive fleet modernization effort that we've done across the Carolinas, retiring our older, less efficient coal plants and replacing them with cleaner burning, very highly efficient natural gas units. And so as we've been able to add these new combined cycle units that use natural gas, we've been able to retire these older plants, and those are scattered across the state, but they include the Sutton plant in Wilmington. And at our newer plants that continue to operate, those plants now have state-of-the-art emissions controls, are among some of the cleanest plants operating in the nation among coal fleets. And those plants, for the most part, handle all the fly ash that they produce is handled dry, and some handle the bottom ash as well, which the bottom ash only makes up a small percentage of the total ash. So most of the ash at those plants is handled dry in lined landfills at those new operating the sites that are continuing to operate.
Let's talk about the Sutton steam plant for a second, since that's right here in Wilmington, and that's one of the plants that has been identified as a high-priority closure site. Jeff, Duke retired its coal-fired operations at the Sutton plant last November. First of all, why has it been identified as a high-priority closure site?
Well, I think there's a lot of criteria that we look at when we identify how we prioritize our basins. You know, certainly it's a retired site, so it's easier to remove the material there because there aren't active operations. We've also, you know, we have identified some elevations in certain parts of our monitoring wells that we've addressed. We'll talk about those, I'm sure, in a little bit, but I think that, along with many other criteria, go to helping us decide how best to prioritize the closure of our sites. Sutton is a great example of a facility that is now state of the art with natural gas. So it makes sense for us to look at this site, and I think there's a lot of potentials there for exploring closure options.
And where is Duke right now in the decommissioning of the Sutton plant?
You know, the Sutton plant is one of our more recent retirements. We have other sites, such as HF Lee, that we actually brought down some of the facility just the other day through a demolition process there. But Sutton is much earlier in that process. The site just recently closed. So we're developing closure plans for that site. And those closure plans not only are going to include closing the facilities there, recycling materials, but also will address how we close the ash basins as well.
And, Jeff, one of the obvious questions here is Duke is facing legal action over all 14 of its plants in North Carolina. Why did it take a spill that became national news, and I'm talking about the Dan River spill, the Eden plant, and all of this legal action before it appeared to the public anyway that Duke started taking action and started moving towards cleanup and transparency?
Well, I think that's a good observation, but I think it's not an accurate observation. I think that Duke has been actively engaged in developing closure plans for its basins. We've been operating some of these basins for more than 8 decades. So we have a long history of operating them in an environmentally sensitive manner. Now, of course, it was an unfortunate accident that occurred at Dan River, and nothing takes away from that. But when we think about our fleet as a whole, we've been working for years to develop closure plans, to develop strategies, groundwater monitoring, other inspections that have to be done. I think that the Dan River incident certainly brought coal ash to the spotlight, so people who maybe had never really heard about it or knew much about it suddenly saw it on the evening news and began to ask questions. But I think it's important that people understand that we've been working for years. We work with the state and work under our regulators to ensure that we operate these in a safe and environmentally sensitive manner.
Frank Holloman of the Southern Environmental Law Center. Just yesterday, your organization filed 3 additional notices of intent to sue Duke concerning 3 more plants that have coal ponds near 3 different rivers, the Cape Fear, the Neuse, and the Yadkin River. The Cape Fear plant in Moncure, the H.F. Lee plant in Goldsboro, and the Buck Steam Station in Salisbury, which is in the southwestern part of the state. Tell us about the Cape Fear plant and why that's of particular concern to our local riverkeeper.
Well, this plant illustrates the problem in the process that Jeff was citing. It is true, under the pressure of federal and state regulations, Duke and other utilities are now using 21st century technology to clean up the air. But the unfortunate thing is that makes the ash more toxic, because that's where the bad stuff from the air goes. And unfortunately, we're using 13th century technology to store the ash in unlined pits in the ground. In fact, it may be more primitive than 13th century. At Cape Fear illustrates the problem perfectly. Duke, back in 1982, had a failure of one of the dams that's just 15 feet from the river. They tried to repair it and couldn't. And that ash is sitting there leaking contaminants directly into the Cape Fear River today, with that dam not yet repaired.
And we'll get more into that when we come back. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. Today we're talking about coal ash. Why has it grabbed the national spotlight? How does the state plan to regulate it? And how is Duke responding to proposed timelines and a flurry of lawsuits? As soon as we come back, we'll start taking some of your calls. The phones are now open at 910-343-1138. You can send emails to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. This is Coastline.